don't be afraid when you're paying tithes to pay your tithes and mend the offering, put in the offering, because whatever I have, God gave it to me.
That's right.
And the good thing about it is whatever I know, God taught me.
That's right.
And wherever I'm at, that's where God brought me. I'm in Him. God brought me in Him. He gave me the gift of life. Am I living for the Lord?
God bless you. We hope that this message has encouraged your heart. We invite you to come worship with us at our Sunday school service beginning at 9 a.m. Our morning worship service at 11 a.m. Bible study every Wednesday night from 7 to 8. If you would like to correspond with this ministry, you can write us at 2627 Willow Glen Road, Alexandria, Louisiana. Again, thank you and may God bless you.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting. All day.
So you say you want deliverance from all the sins and habits that seem to plague you day by day. Well now, if you really want it, listen to me, brother. Get down on your knees and pray. Don't you know?
Don't you know?
Don't you know? He's just there waiting to hear from you. Don't you know?
Don't you know?
Don't you know?
Don't you know?
That if you really want deliverance,
you say you need it.
You need it.
Don't you know
you can have it today? Now you say you have a little.
Praise God, ladies and gentlemen. We are here today to call on the highest power of the universe to bring peace and prosperity upon His people. The God that we serve is a deliverer and a strong tower. He is a God of stability, a God of substance, a God of authority, and a God who can solve all of our issues. So today, establish your people with deliverance. Deliverance from the unemployment line. Deliverance from food stamps and welfare. Deliverance from the inner city housing and project living. Deliverance from drug addiction. Deliverance from social injustice. Deliverance from drive-by shootings. Deliverance from illiteracy and homelessness. Deliverance from racism and bigotry. Deliverance from hatred and violence. Deliverance from the doom of demonism. Deliverance from sin and seduction. Deliverance from helplessness and despair. Authenticate us with the principles of your power so that we can dwell in your power today.
You say you really need it.
You can have it today.
Have deliverance
right now.
If you're sick,
you can have deliverance.
Oh, right now,
right now.
If you gotta have it,
oh, right now,
right now.
You
can have deliverance.
For you say you want deliverance.
You can have
it. You say you need deliverance.
If you need it,
you can have it.
excited to introduce to you Deliverance Today Ministries. Our world is full of trouble, and we have reached a point where it is time to bring to the people of God the truth of God. We are headquartered in Shreveport, Louisiana, and are connected to churches worldwide. Each week, we desire to come into your life with a message of deliverance that will prepare you for heaven. We invite you to join our prayer line and zoom into a closer walk with God every morning from 6 to 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. We have health professionals, spiritual counselors, and Christian aid workers in Louisiana and Texas, and we'll also extend our resources to help you with social, spiritual, financial, and mental needs wherever you are.
If you feel him drawing near to you right now, come on and honor his presence. Oh, his glory is going to show up in this place if you do. Anybody want to see his glory in this place? Come on, bow down. Bow down. Bow down. Bow down before him. I'm not physically talking about bowing down, but just humble. Humble yourself before him.
With my heart, I want to thank you. With my soul, I want to
Today, we begin a series entitled Prison Walls, Part 1, The Opposition from Within. Acts chapter 5, beginning with verse 19. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, Go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came and they that were with him and called the council together and all the senate of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and they found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, The prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keeper standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man. Our message today deals with something that is strange. It is difficult for me to understand why it is that people who are supposed to be on the same side find themselves in cahoots with the devil. People who should be talking the same message, people who should be aligned along the same spiritual lines. You should see that the apostles were preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, but the church leaders were the ones who were strongly in opposition with the message of Jesus. It's important to note that the high priest was responsible for putting Peter in prison. It is important to note that the high priest was the one who saw to it that Peter was silenced. It is important to note that the high priest, who should be most desirous of following the principles of God, was the one who actually was involved in shutting down the truth of God. For when you look at verse 21 very carefully, you will find issues that are very sincere in this message. Now, when the high priest and they that were with him were come, they called together and put the apostles in prison. You must note that it was the preachers and the church leaders who tried to shut Peter up. It was the church leaders who tried to cast him aside. On the present occasion, beside the members of the Sanhedrin, there were gathered together all the Senate and all of the children of Israel. In other words, it is paramount to the church board coming together, or the individuals who are in charge of the leadership of the church. They wanted to silence the apostles. They wanted to shut them up. They did not want the gospel of Jesus to be preached. They could not stand the fact that Jesus was the King of the Jews. They did not want the world to know that he was crucified by their hands. His blood was on their hands. And so now they tried, like Pilate, to wash the blood off of their hands. But that blood is that blood that makes clean those who are guilty. But for those who are desirous of shutting up the power of God, that blood does not cleanse their sins. You see, the advancing of the gospel is going to happen no matter who tries to shut up the truth of God. The gospel of God's grace in Jesus Christ crucified and risen again had issued from Jerusalem at the bidding of the Lord. Would it ever stop? No. Would it ever cease to advance? No. Would it ever meet with obstacles sufficiently strong to turn back its current and to arrest its progress? No. When the flowing tide is hurrying toward the shore, some particular wave is checked by an opposing rock, and it is shivered into the spray before it can reach the shore. But wait a little while, and the rock is sunken beneath the waters, and the waves roll on unchecked to their goal, because you cannot stop the preaching of the truth of God. Sometimes a temporary lull seems to have fallen upon the waves, and three or four in succession do not reach the bonds of their predecessors and had attained. But yet a moment and the tide advances, and it is unbroken with strength, and it never fails to fulfill its destined course. It is just so with the gospel of Christ. Its advance is sure. Its strength is in the unchanging will of God. It has a course to run. It will run it. It has an end to fulfill. It will fulfill it. Hindrances and obstacles, defiance, it will meet with from man in a thousand varying forms. The opposition of hard unbelief in those who boast that they have intellect and philosophy on their side. The opposition of adverse creeds seeking to quell the true faith. The fierce persecutions of ungodly power hoping to stop by force the progress of a hated truth. The divisions and dissensions of Christians among themselves. The abounding of iniquity and the chilling of Christian love. The sudden rise of some heresy or apostasy. These and such like hindrances may occasionally seem to check the outward flow of the waters of life and at times to threaten its further advance. But like the irresistible tide of the mighty ocean, God's purpose is pressing surely on, and by the time decreed by his eternal wisdom, the whole earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord. As the waters cover the sea, the gospel is going to go to the four corners of the earth. This chapter now before us gives a most striking view of this irresistible advance as well as the obstacles opposed to it. 120 men and a few poor weak women are, as it were, the seed with which the hand of the Lord has sown in an uncongenial soil. Immediately around them was all the bigotry of Pharisaic Judaism, clinging with desperate and impassioned obstinacy to the traditions of their father, and ready to kill and be killed on behalf of the law of Moses on one hand, and on the hard, cold skepticism of the Sadducees on the other. These two groups ought to have supported Jesus. These two groups, who were the leaders of the Jews, ought to be on the side of Jesus. But instead of supporting, they were opposing, denying with agnostic incredulity the existence of anything beyond the ken of their eyes or the grasp of their hands. In the wider circle of the outside world, there was an iron heathenism of Rome, imperial tyranny and Caesarian power, military force, and the despotism of the sword, sensuality of the deepest dye, idolatry of the most aggressive and engrossing kind, philosophies of the most adverse to the cross of Christ. How and where could the gospel make its way? Would it not die in the upper room where it was born? But what do we read? There were added to the church about 3,000 souls for every time the devil tried to shut up the truth of God. That only opened up the avenues of God. Many believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. the number of the disciples was multiplied and so on, marking the constant advance of the church of God. And yet all the while, every effort was being made to check this advance. There were already prisons off. There were the fierce threatenings of those who had power to execute them. There were stripes inflicted. There was the majesty of the law and the authority of rulers arrayed against them. But it was all in vain. The preachers could not be silenced. The preaching could not be stopped. The miracles could not be hid. Men's hearts would turn to Christ when they heard of his grace. Multitudes would leave the side of the persecutors and join themselves to the persecuted. The tide would flow on. It rushed over the heads of the opposing rocks. And then worldly wisdom came in with its prudent counsel. Leave these men alone. And so for a time, the work of God went quietly on, gathering strength and acquiring solidly from the day to day in preparation for future hostilities from the world without and the future hindrances from the corruption within. But these first fortunes of Christianity have left to the church in all ages a model of the conflicts that await her and of the only method of obtaining victory. They show us that through opposition and contradiction, in sunshine and in storm, amidst encouragement and under depression, the servants of God have to persevere steadily in proclaiming the grace of God and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They have to go forward in an unswerving obedience to the commandments of Christ and an unfaltering confidence in his almighty power, and that success is sure. For on the rock will I build my church, says Jesus, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. As we accept the role of carrying the gospel, we must anticipate opposition. Opposition from both sides of the door. It is expected that we will have opposition on the outside, but those who fought to put us in jail, it must also be expected that there would be opposition from those who are even with inside the walls. Our only solace is that walls cannot shut out the power of God. So whether we are hated from the inside or hated from the outside, man-made barriers are no match for God. A pilot was experiencing difficulty in landing his plane because of fog, and the airport decided to bring him in by radar. As he began to receive directions from the ground, he suddenly remembered a tall pole in the flight path and appealed in panic to the control tower about it. The reply came bluntly, "You obey instructions. We will take care of the obstructions." How many Christians hate to obey God's word because of the problems and difficulties? If only we would just learn to obey. Don't worry about the details. Just trust in the power of God. He is capable of dealing with the problems and difficulties. If we would just relax and put ourselves in the hand of Jesus. If we would just relax and trust in God. If we would just relax and believe that God is in control. Peter was in prison, locked up. Herod had already planned his death on tomorrow, but Peter was not going to die until God was ready. Peter was in control of the hand of the Almighty God. Today, my Christian friend, we must learn to trust in God. We must learn to believe in God. We must learn to hold on to the power of God. For we must understand that our only responsibility is to follow and obey instructions. He will take care of the obstructions. He will take care of the difficulties. You may know of some challenges, but God knows how to make a way out of no way. He knows how to take a shut door and open it. He knows a way how to release you from the chains of the prison walls. He knows how to control the opposition that is against us. So my friends today, don't worry about the storm. Know that we are in the hands of God who controls the storm. How many of us hesitate to obey God? Don't worry about the opposition. For there are those who try to fight against the leaders of the church of God, who are in opposition with God. Peter believed God. Peter trusted God. Peter obeyed God. When you believe God, and when you trust God, when you obey God, don't fight against the leaders of the church who stand in opposition to the cause of God. Hold on to the unchanging hand of God, and locked doors will open. Chains will fall off. Guards will be held in check. Gates will swing open wide. Don't fight. Be polite. Walk upright. Don't be uptight. God